listening to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast, the best place to break the ice with your favorite player.
Joshua taps it to Svejkovský, joining the rush here. Justin Adamo, Svejkovský pulls the trigger and scores! A snipe by Svejkovský, and the Penguins tie it up.
So get loud, get fired up, and get ready to rock with your host, Nick Hart.
Yes, yes, we are back yet again with another episode of your Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. As Bobby Day just said, I am Nick Hart, and joining me today for our latest episode of the Penguins podcast is Penguins forward Lukas Svejkovský. Svej, as they call him back in the locker room. Svej, how we doing today? How's everything going?
It's good, yeah. I had a good day of practice. Good meal from Steve. Thanks a lot for having me.
We were talking right before doing our audio test, before we started recording. You guys had lamb and potatoes today. I am furious with you. I am super jealous. I did meal prepping last night. I tried to be like a good boy, like keep it light, do a little salad with some quinoa, maybe a little bit of like a chicken with like taco seasoning, and I'm like, I'm ahead of the game. Oh, make no mistake, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. And then I hear you guys got lamb and potatoes today, like lamb chops, which is always fire from Chef Steve. I should know by this point that Chef Steve is always on point.
Yeah, he's a wizard in that kitchen. I don't know how he does it.
He's
unreal.
Straight up wizard.
Yeah.
With all the magic, all the tricks, Hogwarts Culinary School. So he's got you fueled up and ready to go here for this episode of the Penguins podcast, Lukas. A lot of ground that I want to cover with you, but I guess we have to start just with this season in particular that you've been having, not just with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, but also with the Wheeling Nailers. Something that happened back in the offseason is there was a ton of depth acquired by the Penguins organization, whether it be via trade, whether it be via guys coming in as rookies from college, whether it be via free agent signing. And during training camp, everyone was kind of looking around like, oh, shoot, there's a lot of really good hockey players here. And you spent your whole rookie season last year with Wilkes-Barre Scranton, but get sent to Wheeling to start the year. You tear it up down there with the Nailers. We were checking the box scores every single night. We're like, all right, Svejkovský's rolling. There's no doubt about that. But now that we're here, say, in March, months after where we were in training camp, how do you kind of reflect back on the steps that this journey, the kind of twists and turns that's taken you where you are now in year two?
Good question. I mean, it's definitely, you know, obviously I'd be lying if I said I wanted to be in Wheeling to start the year off, but, you know, I think it definitely helped, my development for sure. You know, I got to play over there. We had a really good team there. Derek Armey's the coach there, and he's a great guy, even better coach. So, you know, he got to play me. I got a really good opportunity there, you know, got to play in like every situation, a lot of minutes, and I was kind of, you know, relied on offensively over there. So it was good. And yeah, I'm super happy to be here. Coaches have been great with me. The guys have been great. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we got a good team this year. So hopefully we'll just keep it rolling.
And I don't want to cast any shade on your rookie season. That's not what I'm trying to say here. But I feel like when you started in Wheeling and then came up here to Wilkes-Barre Scranton, we're like, all right, what's Svejkovský going to look at? And like, right away from that first game, it's like, all right, this looks like a more mature, developed Lukas Svejkovský now here in year two. And every game that you've played for the Penguins this season, there's a play here or there where I'm like, oh, look at that, Svejkovsky's cooking tonight, or it looks like he's feeling good. Do you feel a little bit more, I'll use that C word, confidence here now in year two?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said before, just, you know, being in Wheeling, I think it helped for sure, you know, just being able to, you know, play with the puck more and, you know, getting the confidence down there and then coming over here. I mean, obviously it's going to be a bit of a jump, but, yeah, you know, it's been good. You know, I think I got more obviously, but, yeah, hopefully just keep it rolling.
Everyone's always got more in the tank. There's always another level to get to, or at least if you're happy where you are, you're probably not going to get much farther than that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, excited to hear that you think there's more left to go. You're confident. You're feeling comfortable here now in year two with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. You brought up Derek Army. You got an experience to be coached by him down in Wheeling. We haven't actually had a chance to talk to many guys on the podcast about working with Derek Army. I mean, fans will remember him from his time as a player with Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Always love chatting with him, grabbing dinner, getting him on for an interview during training camp. But the actual experience to be coached by Derek Army, I hear nothing but great things, and it sounds like the same goes for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's an unreal guy. You know, he's the kind of coach that'll, you know, bring you in and, you know, talk to you about not just hockey, but, you know, just like your life. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, all the players over there are super comfortable with him. He's a really good coach, and yeah, there's just so many great things I can say about him.
You say it'll bring you in and talk to you about life, those kind of things, and your life has been one that you've kind of filled out quite a, I guess I'd say, like, worldly profile. I asked you last year during your rookie season, during like World Juniors, like, all right, your dad's Czech, you have the name Lukas Vajkovský, you've played junior hockey in Canada, you were born in Florida but grew up in Washington, like, where do you kind of identify? And you're like, Team USA, baby, all the way.
Yeah.
But you kind of have had a lot of different, like I said, like maybe worldly experience. Is that a good way to put it, maybe?
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. My dad's from Czech. He grew up there, and he was a hockey player as well. So he was in Tri-Cities in the WHL, where he met my mom. So my mom's from...
Oh, so they're like a real throwback couple.
Yeah, nice. Real throwback. Met in like high school, and they were... super young. So my mom's from Washington State, and then we were kind of bouncing around for a little bit. Like I remember going to like preschool in Czech, so that was actually my first language that I spoke.
It was Czech.
Yeah, so we lived there for a little bit in a little town called Tábor.
Okay.
Like an hour south of Prague. So that was a pretty cool experience. That's like one of my earliest memories, was just growing up in Czech.
It threw me for a loop the other day. You were talking Czech with Z or something, and I had to like do a double take, and I'm like, wait a second, is that Svej? And then I remembered, like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I definitely lost my touch for Czech, but
I wouldn't know the difference.
He's trying to teach me a bit, so
okay,
I'm
get
trying
you back
to get a bit
it.
Better. Yeah. So that was my first language that I spoke, and then obviously just, you know, being here for so long, obviously I lost it, but I can still understand like a good amount, just can't speak it the best. But it's funny because my mom, like I said, is from the States, and my dad somehow taught her Czech, like just from scratch.
Oh, so your mom knows Czech now too?
Yeah, she's like fluent. So
wow.
So when I was younger, they'd both be talking to me in Czech and stuff like that. And then after that, I think I was maybe like 5 or 6 when we moved back to Washington State. My dad got a skills coaching job with the Vancouver Giants. So ever since then, we've just been out on the West Coast.
And now your dad is a skills coach for the Abbotsford Canucks. So he's in the American Hockey League, but on the other side of the country. We don't get to see the Abbey Canucks at all. I know last year he was able to make a trip out to Charlotte to see a play. How often do you and your dad communicate and just shoot the breeze when it comes to hockey, the game?
Yeah, he's been with Vancouver all year this year, so he's...
Oh, so Van all year.
Yeah,
there you go. Okay.
Yeah, but I got to see him once when I was still with Wheeling.
Okay.
We were just playing in Cincinnati, and he was the Canucks had a West Coast trip somewhere, so he got to come down for a game with my mom and my younger brother Tommy, actually.
Nice.
So it was good seeing them. We left right after the game, so only got like 10-15 minutes to chit chat with them, but more about Arms. Like Army came out, talked to them too. It's actually funny because Arms' dad coached my dad back in the day.
No way.
So yeah, so my
Where
mom.
At?
It was in Washington.
Okay.
It might have been
with
in
the Caps, yeah.
In Portland in their American League team.
Yeah.
But so it's small world. Like,
go figure, man.
Yeah, they remember Derek when he was like just a little guy.
Little kid,
apparently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's funny. It's really funny.
It's funny because so many guys, particularly this season, we've seen a lot of second generation guys just here with the Penguins. You have yourself. You have Jonathan Gruden, whose dad played in the NHL. We had Alex Nylander, whose dad, of course, played in the NHL. There were just a lot of like second generation guys, and now lo and behold, Derek Army's dad coached your dad, and then he coached you this season. That is truly the smallest of small world coincidences. Like, yeah. What are the odds?
Yeah.
You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning twice than something like that happening.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it's crazy. Small world.
It's nuts. And you're a hockey family, too, because your sister plays at Colgate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
So you guys have been hockey through and through from day one, right? There was never any consideration in young Lukas Vaikovski doing anything else?
Yeah, I don't even remember when I got started up into it, but it was just kind of, you know, I loved it at such a young age that it was just a love of the game, and I'd always be, you know, watching hockey. Like, we'd be going on vacation, I'd bring, like, a little mini stick or something like that.
Got it.
Just
mandatory.
Just love of the game, so... it's definitely in my blood, you know, with my dad playing and coaching. I have a little brother also that plays. I have another sister, too. She's a cheerleader She played back in the day, quit. That was a tough blow for the family.
That was a tough blow.
Yeah, no, she's really good at cheer, though. So
still got the athletics.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
For sure.
So you're the oldest?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of four.
One of four,
and everyone else at least played hockey.
Yeah, three of us play, one played. Yeah.
Where's your brother right now?
He's back home. He's 10 years old, so.
Still got a ways to go.
Yeah, he's still got a ways, yeah.
Still got a ways to go, but the Svejkovski hockey bloodline runs deep with the moving around that you talked about before. Who was your team, if you will, growing up? Did you have a favorite team? We're allowed to talk about that here. You don't have to say the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Going on.
I had to lay that rule out there. Like, you don't have to say, you don't
honestly,
have to kiss up.
I always loved Crosby.
Yeah, like, naturally.
He was my favorite player.
Okay.
Obviously, growing up. I wasn't really the biggest, like, Penguins fan. I just liked him.
Like Sid, yeah.
Yeah, I loved him. I also liked Ovechkin. I didn't really have any boundaries about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
best
most
of both
people
worlds.
Hated
you gotta
one,
hate
loved
one or the
one.
Other. Yeah.
I liked them both. But I think just growing up, like, near Vancouver, I think the Canucks were my team.
Okay, and makes sense.
Yeah, they went on that one playoff run back in,
2011.
Like 2011. So I think I went to, like, two of the games in the finals there.
Oh, wow.
And I remember there's one game where they won 1-0 and LaPierre scored the only goal with, like, super late left. And just, like, the... It was crazy in that place. Like, it was so loud, and it's like one of my favorite memories probably from watching hockey.
It's crazy to me, like, looking at the date right now, that was more than 10 years ago. That was over a decade ago. I feel like I can remember that series, each game, like the back of my hand at this point, how nasty it got, the shutouts, then game seven. Like, I feel like I remember all of these details.
The ride after.
And it was that too. That's kind of unforgettable. Yeah. Brad Marchand, like, breaking onto the scene during that series. Like, that was a guy who was not a household name. And then he and Tyler Seguin.
Yeah.
Seguin was on that team too,
yeah,
like, as a rookie.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to think that was 13 flipping years ago.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That,
for sure.
That makes me want to walk into traffic. That is truly, like, every now and then, now I have to check myself because I'll go back into the locker room. Guys like yourself and your other teammates who are younger than me. When I first showed up here, most, not everyone, but most of the guys were older than me.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like, Taylor Fadoon's my best friend. That's the only guy that's older than me. And then I hear, like, that playoff series between Van and Boston was 13 freaking years ago.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
It's crazy.
Oh, soars. Absolutely soars by. But as time continues to fly by here on the Penguins podcast, Lukas, I want to transition into a recurring segment that we do here on the show, where I have the previous episode's guest leave a blind question for the next episode's guest, meaning they do not know who they are asking it to, but I tell them that it can be about anything in the world. Any topic is on the table. This season, we have had the pattern of guys leaving riddles for the next episode's guest.
Oh.
And that trend has continued here today, and I hear you groan because I feel like the confidence has now plummeted for Lukas Vaikovski in this moment. Do you not do well with riddles?
No, not at all. I'm just praying I know this one from before.
Like this is one you've heard before?
Yeah, I'm praying, else I probably won't get it.
Well, if you haven't heard it before, you're allowed to give yourself a moment to try and dissect, surgically pull apart this riddle that has been left for you on this episode of the Penguins podcast. Are you prepared for me to pop the question?
I'm prepared.
Lukas Vajkovski, what happens once a minute, twice in a moment, but never in 1,000 years?
Once in a minute,
twice in a moment, but will never happen in 1,000 years.
Oh God, I've never heard this one. This might take me a while.
That's fine. I'll play the Jeopardy theme. I had never heard this one either, by the way. Whenever
really?
It was given
to me. Did
you get
it?
No, it stumped me. I was hosed. Because I kind of get like a free preview to all these riddles and get a chance to kind of solve them myself ahead of time.
I feel like
this
there's
one,
a twist here. I got to think outside the box.
So once again, it happens once in a minute, twice in a moment, but it'll never happen in 1,000 years.
Once in a minute.
Twice in a moment, never in 1,000 years. Like, guaranteed, lock it in. It's not going to happen in 1,000 years.
Twice in a moment?
Twice in a moment, once in a minute.
Once in a minute. Twice in a moment?
Never in 1,000
Wait
years.
Wait a minute. It's something to do with, like, how it's spelled, I feel like, no?
Is that where your mind is drifting
That's,
right now?
I
feel
think
like
so, yeah.
Even the people listening right now might be in a blender unless they've heard it before.
So once in a minute. M-I-N-U-T-E.
Yes.
Twice in a moment. There's two M's in moment, one M in minute, not in 1,000 years. Did I get that right?
What is your answer?
M? I don't know.
Lukas Vajkovski, you have solved the
Let's
riddle.
Go.
The letter M
Let's
happens
go.
Once in a minute, twice in a moment, never, ever in 1,000 years because there is no M in 1,000 years.
I'm proud of that one, actually.
Yeah, and you broke it down. Like, I could see the gears turning, and you're spelling it out. I'm like, he's got it. Just keep going. It stumped me. I was hosed.
My brain was going to work there, not going to lie.
Hey, you know what? Whether steam was coming out of your ears or not, you got to the finish line. That's all that matters.
Let's go.
Roll up the sleeves and get there. That's a big win for Lukas Vajkovski here.
I'll take it.
I keep saying I'm going to have to go back and do the stats to see, like, who has the edge, the riddle givers or the riddle takers. I really think we're down the middle at this point in the season.
Really?
This, like, happened on accident. It's usually not riddles.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, previous seasons, it's just, like, blown wide open. But one guy got a riddle, and then he wanted to give a riddle, and then the next guy wants to give a riddle, and it's just gotten us here now to March, another M, where I have to go back and do the stats. I have to get the analytics on how many have gotten it right, how many have gotten it wrong, who has the edge.
Well, I'm up 1-0, that's all I know.
You're up 1-0. Lukas Vajkovski undefeated through one round of the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast. Are you curious as to who left you that riddle?
I am, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I would direct you and our listeners to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast archives located on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and iTunes.
Oh, you're not going to tell me?
No way, pal. You got to look it up like everybody else.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll keep rolling along here, Lukas. Last season, I know you took great pride in one particular thing in your first season, not only playing hockey, but being away from home, being a pro, and that was the air fryer. The air fryer. You were so revved up for that thing. What did you get it for, Christmas or something? Or did you have it, like, right at the start of the season?
Oh, I'm trying to think. It might have been like a Secret Santa gift for someone.
Secret Santa gift, and you were fired up. You were pumping like the tires of this machinery.
Yeah.
You were so happy about it. Is it still sticking with you? Is it still kicking?
I still got it. I mean, I had to use it a lot in Wheeling.
Okay.
We didn't have Steve over there, so we were
True.
Cooking.
So have you now expanded your recipe profile, or are you just sticking with Old Reliable? What's the go-to in the air fryer?
I'm definitely still Old Reliable. Like, I'll throw in steak in there once in a while. It's
uh-huh.
actually pretty good. But
I hear great things.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Like, yam fries. I also have a rice cooker, too.
Whoa!
You're
doing some sweet potato fries in the air fryer.
Yeah, it's good. Makes it nice and crispy.
That's a sharp move.
Good crunch in it.
Good crunch.
Yeah. Normally, I'm just like a rice and chicken guy. Or like
rice and chicken.
Rice and steak.
Play
so.
It down the middle.
Yeah, so I got a rice cooker that's pretty – it comes in handy for sure. So that's like mostly what I'd be doing. On game days, I do quinoa. I put quinoa on there, so – I'll do like quinoa and chicken, but that was more so when I was in Wheeling, I guess. Here we just get foods.
We get Steve, so it takes another thing off your plate, no pun intended, on
exactly.
a game day.
Yeah, So it's definitely nice. Saves me some time being in the kitchen, that's for sure.
Now, here's a chance to perhaps defend yourself, if you will, because accusations were being thrown around last year as well, that you were not the one actually cooking with your air fryer, that your sister, whenever she would be visiting from out of town, that she would be responsible for cooking all of your meals. So you would come in bragging about the air fryer while not putting in any of the work. Would you like to defend yourself now?
Oh, I can defend my case, yeah.
Okay,
that's
please
definitely
do.
A lie. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. When she was here, she would
chip in.
Yeah, she'd take care of me, and Ty would be over quite a bit, so she'd make us stuff. But, I mean, she wasn't here that often. Like, she's pretty busy with her hockey schedule, but she'd definitely chip in when she was here, that's for sure. But last year I definitely ate out a lot. Like,
okay.
It was my first year living alone. I mean,
everyone's got to go through that learning curve.
Yeah, I definitely ate out a lot more than I probably should have, but it's not like I was in there like every day, but I definitely use it here and there. Like,
you were
maybe a couple times
before.
A week. Yeah. I'm getting better, though.
You've graduated to a higher level.
I'd like to think so, yeah.
You'd like to think so. Yeah. Maybe not quite expert level. What's between intermediate and expert?
I don't even know if I'm there yet.
Oh,
might
really?
Just be intermediate.
It's
yeah.
still intermediate,
yeah,
but I'm just still, better. Better intermediate.
Like,
intermediate
like,
plus.
Yeah, I'll burn the chicken, stuff like that.
In the air fryer.
Yeah, I just leave it in there for too long.
Do you do any like funky seasonings or marinades, or you just like throw the chicken breast in there and hit the timer and walk away?
I do it all. I throw like five different seasonings on there.
Five
like,
different seasonings.
Maybe
I
not
love
five.
This.
Three or four.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Sure.
You'll shake it up.
Yeah, I don't even know what kind, but salt and pepper it. Okay. Put like some olive oil in there, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Gotta have that.
Yeah, but that's about it.
But you are defending yourself. You will say that is a straight up lie. It was not your sister that was using the air fryer. Everybody was chipping in.
Everyone chipped in, yeah.
Everyone chipped in.
It's not a lie that she was using it. Like, she definitely used it a couple times.
But it is a lie that she was exclusively using
it. Yeah,
you were not.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Right.
I'm glad we set the record straight here. A chance to defend yourself.
I'd love to know who was saying that, by the way.
It was floating around there.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't want to throw around accusations, say names when I'm not actually 100% sure, because then that's going to come back around to me, and I'm going to get the heat. I don't need that. But I know it was out there. It was out there.
I'll have to have a word with some of the boys then.
Okay. What's going on? Who's spreading rumors? Speaking of Ty Smith, who you said was coming over all the time, you guys had your Chell franchise mode. He was talking about that on the podcast last year. Has that continued through this season? Oh, yeah.
This season, like, I mean, we had one. It's just like the same one as last year, I think.
Just continue the ride.
We haven't been really playing like a whole lot. But yeah, you know, when we have like a day off or something, we'll log like an hour or two on there and just... He loves making like the trades and stuff.
I heard, yeah,
it's
like
it's honestly, it's pretty fun.
You guys had delegated responsibilities, ties and
trades.
Role, you had like draft scouting, like
we had our roles for sure. Yeah,
that's the way to do it. Like just dive in 100%, the way to go. Now I'm embarrassed because I'm bringing up this story and I can't remember what it was. There was some like gigantic like 6'7" Russian, like you get to the point where like the game just starts generating players.
Yeah, they're all just like made up guys after
I can't remember his name, but Ty told me his name and I'm like, this is my favorite imaginary hockey player of all time.
Yeah,
just
he
like
was,
6'7" winger.
I can't put my finger
overall.
On his name either too.
Whatever you could imagine like an AI generated Russian hockey player's name was, that's what this was.
Yeah, he was just like
elite.
Yeah, unreal.
Elite.
We'd actually have like some of the boys chip in, too. I know Olsen's played, like, a couple games
with
us last year. Yeah, it's honestly just something to do, like, when you're bored. Like I said, like, on an off day, kind of just sit on the couch, hang out, get back on.
Last night at the – we just had a multi-year season ticket holder meet-and-greet event this past Monday at the casino where you guys and the players – ran around, signed autographs, met a lot of the people that have been season ticket holders for a long time. A couple of the fans were asking me, and this question came up twice, and I'd never really thought about this from the fans' perspective before, but they were asking me, like, do these guys, like, keep in touch with their old teammates, or when they leave, do they never talk to them again? Because I guess the trade deadline and all the movement and stuff like that going on. You just brought up Kyle Olsen, former guest of the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast. So maybe answer that question for some of the fans who are listening and have that same query. How much do you still keep in touch with guys you used to play with, either here pro, back in junior?
Yeah.
That's pretty common.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, you're at the rank with these guys, you know, like so much,
yeah.
So many hours throughout the day. So obviously build friendships and bonds with them. You know, you become really, really close with guys. So, yeah, I talk to Ole a lot still. He's overseas now. And,
yeah.
Yeah, he's liking it there a lot. He's in Switzerland. So
Swiss.
Yeah, yeah, he's having a good time there. He's been able to travel a bit and stuff like that. So
I haven't heard many people say bad things about their time in Switzerland. Whatever the reason was for going over there, they usually like it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice in the pictures.
Definitely.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while, but I do remember being there, like, I was probably like 12 or 13 summer, so... Yeah, it's really beautiful over there. Yeah, a little vacation.
Whereabouts did you go? Do you remember?
We actually, my family and I, we rented like an RV.
Okay.
So we went like all around Europe pretty much.
No way. In,
I think we rented the RV in like Austria.
Okay.
So we went down to, I mean, started in Czech, obviously. We were just
naturally
there
good starting point.
Yeah, yeah, that was our checkpoint.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
well
and
done.
Then we kind of just drove like through Switzerland. We went on like a couple hikes there, like through the, I wouldn't say mountains, but like hills. Austria, we went to Vienna,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And we went to the Battle of Normandy. Like,
okay.
That, they have a little historic place.
Uh-huh.
That's in France, yeah. So we went there and like, I mean, it was a while ago, but we definitely hit up a lot of spots. Did the Tour de France, too, when we were in France. Watched
you did
that.
The Tour de France?
Didn't do
you
it.
You were
no,
in it?
No. But, yeah, my dad's, like, he was super into that, so we, like, rented bikes there, too.
Okay.
And we'd, like, wake up in the morning, and, I mean, it's a really big thing over there, so there'd be a huge group of people just kind of, like... Before the bikers, like
the race itself,
come. Yeah. You just bike up the
people just cruising around,
yeah, cruising
on the track.
Around on the tracks, kind of scoping it out. So I remember doing that, and then went back and like watched these guys like flying up and down these like mountains,
zipping,
yeah. And I was thinking like, oh, I'm faster than these guys, like.
I can keep up here.
Yeah.
I can dust these guys.
Yeah, but that was really really cool. Like just seeing like their warm ups and stuff like that. Like it was
everything
pretty
they go through. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That is one of those events that I don't want to say I forget about it, but whenever it rolls around annually,
yeah,
I'm just like, oh yeah, of
yeah.
course the Tour de France. I always forget it's coming up. I guess is what
yeah.
I should say when it happens on the calendar, and then it'll just be. On, we'll say on the background in a waiting room in a lobby and, you know, a sports bar or something.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just eventually, my eyes will gravitate to it. I'm just like, I can't imagine riding a bike for that long.
It's nuts.
I can't imagine
there.
It.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm on a stationary bike for an hour, I feel like Hercules. So these guys are doing it for hours at a time, for days at a time in giant mountains and just soaring.
Yeah.
Can't imagine it.
No, these guys...
Incomprehensible
like,
to me.
The way they were built, too, like, they just absolute tree trunks for legs, like...
It's gotta.
Veins just popping
yeah.
over their legs, looking like
yeah.
it's gonna burst. Yeah, it looks tough.
It does not look like
it
a walk
tough.
In the park.
Yeah.
It's certainly a great challenge there. Apologies for the interruption. We'll get back to that chat with Lukas Vajkovski in a moment, but first... I have to talk to you, good listeners, about the Fairfield Inn and Suites Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Why? Because they strive to be your home away from home whenever you're traveling. Lukas knows all about the importance of comfort whenever he's on the road, whether it be Wilkes-Barre Scranton, whether it be Wheeling, whether it be trips on the road. Comfort is number one. And with the Fairfield Guarantee, they promise that you'll be satisfied, that you'll be comfortable. And if on the offhand chance that you're not, they make sure to make it right. That is the beauty of the Fairfield Guarantee, that even if everything isn't just so just mention it to them, and they'll do everything in their power to make it just the way you want it to be. Located right on Kidder Street, less than 2 miles away from the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, as they continue to play here in their 25th season, the Fairfield Inn and Suites Wilkes-Barre Scranton can be contacted at 570-208-4455. Once again, that is 570-208-4455. Punch those digits into your phone. Give them a ring if you're looking for some lodging, if you're coming to Northeast Pennsylvania to watch the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, or maybe you got some summer vacations planned, you got some friends in town, you got some family visiting from out of town. Send them right to them. Once again, 570-208-4455, the Fairfield Inn and Suites, Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And now, let's take it back to Ole Svedge. Lukas Fejkovský, you have proven to be, once again, the worldliness that we spoke of before. There's some of that European RV vacation going to historical sites. But I want to test maybe not so much your history knowledge, but your expertise on a number of different subjects. What we're going to do now is go to another recurring segment that we have here on the podcast, Lukas. This is going to be perhaps the greatest challenge you've faced all season. It's a little something that we call Welcome to My TED Talk.
All right.
Or what we have is we have this hockey helmet over here, Lukas. I'm going to ask you to hand me that bucket as I explain the rules. Inside this helmet are a number of prompts that you have never seen before. Various topics for you to select them, pull them out. You'll pull out two, and you will get a chance to choose one of these prompts to give us a completely improvisational TED Talk. Are you familiar with TED Talks?
I am, yeah.
Okay, good. I always have to double check. So far, we're 100% on guys knowing what TED Talks are. So the expert, the college professor, the well-studied artiste or whatever goes up there on stage, microphone in hand, spotlight on them, maybe a little PowerPoint behind them, and speaks about a various subject to kind of other enlighten people on that subject or change the way they think about a certain subject. So here, we don't like to get into things like, say, World War II history, European history. We try to keep it a little bit lighter.
That's fair. Yeah.
But the point being, you have never seen these topics before. So what I'm going to have you do, Lukas, is I'm going to have you reach in here. You're going to pull out one of these prompts. You'll pull out another one, but read this one to me. Will you be giving us a TED Talk on
successful strategies to navigate the grocery store?
Okay, a successful strategies to navigate the grocery store. I'm sure you got to do some shopping and get that chicken and rice for the air fryer.
That's right? Not really my area of expertise.
Okay,
so
okay. Well,
I'll
you get,
for
it,
the
you
next.
Get a second.
Hopefully
one.
It's better. Concert etiquette.
Concert etiquette. Behavior, the proper way to behave, polite
and like
ways
what
to behave.
You wear is that
at a concert. I leave these wide open, baby. You can steer this car wherever you want to go. But I will say,
concert etiquette.
If you don't like either of these two, I will let you reach back into the helmet for a third prompt. But if you do,
have to pick go.
You're locked in. Yeah. You're locked in. That's the do or die.
I'll mix it up then.
You're going to go for the third? Yeah. You're hitting X on the random button here?
Yes, sir.
All right. Lukas, you are giving us a TED Talk on
the key to running a successful Baskin-Robbins franchise.
The key to running a successful Baskin-Robbins franchise. Are you familiar with Baskin-Robbins?
No, I'm not at all.
Okay.
Is that a breakfast spot?
No, it's okay. It's like an ice cream chain, like a Dairy Queen or a Brewster's, a what's another chain ice cream place? This is
like
the
Dairy
chain
Queen
ice cream
something.
Place. Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see how much small business acumen you have, or maybe this is just what you would want to have as a customer. Like I said, you can steer this any direction you want, but Lukas, you're going to give us a TED Talk on the successful ways to run a Baskin-Robbins franchise. Are you ready, I guess?
I'm trying to think of what to say, but yeah, I guess so. Let's go.
All right, well, I'm going to put you on the spot now, ladies and gentlemen. A TED Talk by Lukas Fejkovský.
Hey, how's it going? Lukas here. I think the main part is just having it in like a nice spot somewhere where, you know, it's kind of easy to get to. Maybe there's, you know, some nice scenery around you. I mean, I don't know how much water there is around here, but if I'm back home on the West Coast, I definitely want it to be, you know, kind of on the water somewhere or something like that. Just something nice to look at while you're getting into your ice cream. Second thing, I think having like those like special cones, you know, you can have like the waffle cone on there, maybe like add some sprinkles on the cone too. Those are always pretty good in my opinion. Number three, I've been hearing a lot of people are leaning towards like dairy free now, so maybe get some dairy free ice cream in there. Probably easier on the stomach too. And yeah, that's about it. I think I do pretty good opening a Baskin Robbins, but I think those are the three key things for sure. So that's all I got, and thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
The three keys from Lukas Vajkovski. So to recap your TED Talk for those who say too long didn't read. One, scenery, location.
Yeah.
You say a key to a good, you know, ice cream stop is being around some good stuff to then like sit on the bench or just look around like right there, right by the ice cream spot.
Yeah,
we don't have to get our ice cream and then drive 5 minutes. We're right there.
Yeah, just, you know, bring the family, stay a while.
Location.
Exactly.
Number two is the accoutrement, the flair, the sprinkles, the jimmies, as they call them on my side of the Commonwealth.
Oh,
the,
okay.
The cones.
Yeah.
Waffle cones, cake cones, different kinds of cones.
Uh-huh.
If you were to start a cone from scratch, like a new material, what would you want? Because they have like waffle cones, sugar cones.
I don't know, like my new cone's too good to be honest, but
make up one. That's what I'm saying. Like what would you want to have like an ice cream in?
I think the waffle cone with like the sprinkles on the outside.
On the cone itself.
I've had that once or twice in my day, and it's, I mean, I remember it being unreal. Yeah, definitely something like that. Maybe like a bit of flavor on there, like a bit of caramel or fudge or something like that.
This is just me thinking out loud here. And is there a way where you could do like, probably not. I'm thinking like a dried fruit, but you use it as like a little case for like a scoop of ice cream.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I'm saying? But is that going to be enough to hold the ice cream? Is that then going to be falling all over the place and be a mess?
Maybe freeze the fruit. That should make
freeze
it a bit more
dried
sturdy.
Fruit. Okay.
I don't know if that'd it's be a good with tandem it. Though with
maybe
the ice
not.
Cream. Yeah.
I'm thinking like sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm not
yeah.
a big ice cream guy.
No.
No. No.
Wow,
I don't like ice cream. So this is random. We'll get down this wormhole. When I was younger, I was lactose intolerant. When I say younger, I mean like really, really little. Like first 5-6 years of life, I was lactose intolerant. If I had like milk, I'd barf it up. Like just couldn't do it. But then like as you grow up, like your body chemistry changes and things like that. So I can do dairy products now without getting even like an upset stomach. I'll eat cheese. You put a little bit of milk in like a mashed potatoes or say something like that. Doesn't bug me at all. But there are certain like cream-based products that I still like to this day. Just like, nope, no thank you. Ice cream being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do ice cream. Can't do like sour cream. I just – it wigs me out. I don't
really?
Like it. Nothing adverse will happen to me.
Yeah.
Just don't like it. So I'd rather have like a sorbet or an Italian ice versus like ice cream.
Wow.
So I'm actually
to be
the wrong
fair,
guy to
I'm
talk
not a
about
huge
it.
I'm not a huge sour cream guy either. Ice cream, I mean, I like it. I'm like 90% sure I'm lactose intolerant too. So
oh, okay.
I pretty much stay away from it for the most part.
So, and that brings us to your third key, dairy-free options.
Yeah.
You got to appeal to everybody. And that's why anytime like I have friends that want to go to an ice cream shop or stop somewhere for dessert or something, I'm always scanning. Like, do they have sherbet? Do they have a sorbet?
My place would, for sure.
If your place does, you have my business, sir. You have my business. I'll have a beautiful view to look at. I'll be able to get some sprinkles or maybe a little bit of like chocolate drizzle on there if I want and a waffle cone. But I can't do the ice cream. I want the sherbet. I want the sorbet. I want the Italian ice. And
we'll have it all. Don't worry. You'll have it there.
I love that. And you know what? That goes along. I know you said you weren't too familiar with Baskin Robbins, but that's like their gimmick is they have like 31 flavors or something like that.
Really?
I think they have way beyond 31 flavors now, but that was like their hook back in whenever they started in whatever year. I don't know when Baskin Robbins was founded.
Jeez.
They've been around a long time, but it was like, we've got 31 flavors of ice cream.
That's...
We're better than that place down the street that only has vanilla and chocolate soft serve. Like,
that's
we got
crazy.
You covered. So you really would. You've got the Baskin Robbins game down, and you didn't even know it. There you go. Well, awesome stuff, Lucas. I've taken up a ton of your time here today following a very busy practice for you guys. But before I let you off the leash and let you prepare for the Penguins' next set of games, we have one last thing that we have to do here on the Penguins podcast. The listeners, they probably already know what I'm talking about. But for you, Lucas, I'd like to introduce you to Pens Picks.
Pens Picks.
Svej. It is at this time in every podcast where I ask my guests to provide a recommendation to the fans, a recommendation to our listeners, and it can be anything in the world. Once again, I say anything and everything is on the table, whether it's something you've really been enjoying lately, something that you think is underrated and doesn't get enough respect, food, movies, entertainment, those are often frequent picks, but you can take this wherever you like, my friend, so I will ask you now, what is your Pens pick?
I know it's starting to get sunny outside, so maybe just, you know, go out, enjoy the sun. We've been playing a lot of spike ball here lately with the guys, and that's such a fun game, like so underrated.
All-time great game.
Yeah.
If you don't know what he's talking about, look it up
on
YouTube, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah.
I call it, like, just to simplify it, flat volleyball. As a simple term, there's a circular net in the middle between two teams of two, and you get like a little ball, and you have to smack it down on the net, which will then trampoline it back into play. You volley it back and forth between your teammates before smacking it back onto the net, and it goes around and around, but there's no hard line in the middle like volleyball.
Uh-huh.
Like you circle around like a tornado to keep up with this thing. It is legitimately one of my favorite games to play.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's simple, really, but just get like a group of, you know, you and a couple friends, and yeah, it's a lot of fun, something to do outside, and it's a good time for sure.
Lay it out on the grass at the park. Lay it out on the sand at the beach. I guess you could do it on a concrete parking lot, but you're not going to be diving out and selling out to save some plays if that's the case. But
that hurt
you
the knees.
Yeah, you can take it anywhere, drop it down, as long as you've got some space to maneuver with you and your teammates. It is truly a blast. That is an awesome Pens pick.
Thank you.
That's a great one. I'll throw out one for not only you, Lucas, but our listeners out there as well. We got the unfortunate news earlier this week about the passing of Eric Carmen. Rock and roll star, easy listening sometimes. I think most people remember him for Hungry Eyes from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, some of the ballads that he came out with in the 80s. But my Pens pick is going to be going back to early Eric Carmen and his time with the band The Raspberries. People don't talk about The Raspberries as much as they should anymore. That first record, Raspberries, Raspberries, one of the forgotten gems of classic rock, specifically the song Go All the Way, is, for my money, one of the best songs ever made. Book it. I'm not saying like top 10, but think about all the songs that have ever been made in the history of mankind.
There's a lot.
If I told you that was a top 200 song ever made, that's like still, you're in like the top 0.1% of songs ever, 0.01% of songs ever made. So shout out to Raspberries, Raspberries, Go All the Way, the lead singer. That's the song that everybody knows by the Raspberries, so I'm not exactly bringing up a deep cut, but the whole album's pretty underrated. We'll go back to the early stages of Eric Carmen's career for that Pens pick.
Nice.
Is that one going to end up on your playlist? You got the Raspberries on the
Spotify
shuffle?
Might have it already. Might have it. I got a lot of music in there, so.
You're spread out?
Yeah, I'll go with
that. Diversified?
Yeah, I got it all.
There we go. And we've heard it all from Lukasz Svejkovský here on the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins podcast. Svej, can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk to us. It's been a blast sitting down and chatting with you, and it's been really fun watching you play and watching you grow here with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for having me. Anytime.
Very quickly here, do you have any social media handles, social media platforms that you'd like people to follow you on?
I just have Instagram. It's my name.
You're going to have to spell that for people.
It's all right. You guys don't have to follow me.
No, okay. All right, do a copy paste then. Look them up on Hockey TV and do a copy
you
paste.
You can if
Instagram.
You want. I mean, I'll take the followers.
he'll take the followers, folks. So check him out on the gram. Of course, you can find all the previous episodes of the Penguins podcast, not only this season but of previous seasons, on SoundCloud, just search for WBS Penguins. On Apple Podcasts, iTunes, just search for WBS Penguins. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Penguins Podcast with myself and Lukas Fejkovsky. Svej, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye.
And I will bid you adieu. See you again in 2 weeks, Penguins fans.
Thanks, Artie.